Hey there, you're listening to the Campus Bible Study podcast. If you'd like to find out more information, you can go to campusbiblestudy.org.
Romans chapter 5, verse 6. For while we were weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person, one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more now that we are reconciled shall we be saved by his life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation.
Well, good morning, everyone. My name is Kevin Chen. I'm one of the pastors at Campus Bible Study, and usually I serve alongside our Focus Mandarin congregation. And so today it's actually a great privilege to be with our 11 a.m. CBS Summer Church congregation. And a special welcome if you are actually here with us for the very first time, whether in person or on the live stream. Really glad you could join us today. But before we dig into this part of God's Word, please join with me in prayer. Father God, we thank you for speaking to us today through your Word in the Bible. Father, please give us ears to hear and a heart to respond, that we may understand where true happiness comes from and that we will receive it with unspeakable joy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, good morning again, and Happy New Year. That's how I suspect we've been greeting each other for the last little while. And happiness has certainly been one of the most important things for us as a society and also as individuals. In April 2012, the first ever World Happiness Report was published by the United Nations. The report has since been released on pretty much an annual basis. The latest report comes from March 2020. And guess who was ranked the happiest country in the world? Does anyone know? It's Finland. And Finland actually won this for 3 years in a row. Can you imagine that? But do you know how Australia ranked on that scale? It's the 12th. Not too bad, eh? On a world scale. But, you know, for some of our international students, if you're thinking of applying PR here, maybe time to consider Finland. But we know that development of a country is usually measured by this thing called the gross domestic product, the GDP. But happiness has now become so important that the country began, instead of measuring the country's development using gross domestic product figure, it decided to measure its development with this thing called the gross national happiness figure. You know, that's happiness for you on the world stage, whether it's based on things like GDP per capita, level of social support, life expectancy, freedom to make life choices, generosity, and perception of corruption. But some criticisms against this World Happiness Report is that measuring happiness of a group of people, you know, it is kind of misleading, isn't it? I'm sure today some of us might be feeling happy, while some of us might actually be feeling a bit unhappy. So happiness is actually meant to be an individual matter. So what brings you happiness? What brings you happiness? Well, according to this guy called Maslow, he proposed this hierarchy of needs. That as human beings, we all have needs, but they come in hierarchies. And it's only when the most basic and fundamental needs are filled and met that higher needs would emerge. So let me illustrate for you how this hierarchy of needs is tied to happiness. With our imaginary friend, John Lee. We don't have a John Lee here, do we? John Lee, his friends call him Little Lee. Well, Little Lee grew up as a happy kid. His physiological needs, whether it's food, shelter, all that, it's never been a problem. Growing up in a middle-class family, he's got most of the toys he wanted. But time flies. Happy Little Lee has now graduated from a degree in IT from UNSW. Now, finding employment has been hard, especially during COVID times. But when Little Lee finally received a job offer from this small Sydney-based Starbucks company, he was jumping for joy. You know, pay was okay, but it does give him sense of security. And then Little Lee met this girl of his life. And when she finally said yes, it felt to him like the world had stopped. A moment unforgettable for life. Now, Little Lee was loved and respected by his family, colleagues, and his parents were just really proud of him, coming from an Asian family. I'm really proud of what he's actually achieved with the number of years that he's been in Australia. And Little Lee really enjoyed the opportunity to visit home during Chinese New Year's. He was like the model cousin amongst his peers. Having worked so hard, Little Lee one day received this job offer from Google to lead a team in developing the latest AI-enabled next-generation research algorithm, which I don't even know what I'm talking about. But Little Lee was lost for words. You know, it's the opportunity of his lifetime, the opportunity to achieve the best that he can. Can you imagine how Little Lee would be so happy? It's like the perfect life story of a focused student. Little Lee's pursuit of need also reveals something about the pursuit of happiness. As he strives for the next level of need, like full-time employment, I suspect there was a period of intense frustration, of anxiety, and even unhappiness. Before Little Lee asked the girl, you know, how does he know whether she'll say yes? Again, frustration, anxiety, even unhappiness. And if she says no, even more frustration, anxiety, and unhappiness. The joy and happiness that Little Lee has already attained seems to be so quickly so overshadowed by the frustration, anxiety, and happiness as he strives for the next thing. I wonder whether his experience sounds a bit familiar for you. What gives you happiness in this world? Is it also as temporary and as fleeting like Little Lee's? So, Happy New Year, guys! Well, seriously, you know, coupled with all the uncertainty surrounding COVID, you know, needing to change your plan for the year again and again, and even needing to change your plan week to week, frustration with online study, can't go home to see your family, Australian government seem to have now suspended granting permanent residency, loss of work opportunity. Is it really possible to be happy as we head into 2021? The Bible does insist that even when the uncertainty of 2021 is pretty much the most certain thing that we can have, the Bible insists that yes, you can have long-lasting, certain joy. So let's turn to the part of the Bible that Shen just read out for us a bit earlier. The book of Romans in the New Testament Bible, in chapter 5. So please turn your Bible there with me if you have one. And it's now also very easy to download the Bible app on your phone to read along. And there should be an outline, yep, on the screen. So let's come to point one, certain of God's love. Please, let's read again sentences 6 to 8. For while we were still weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, although perhaps for a good person, one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Experiencing human love is a great joy, isn't it? For my daughter come to me, hugging and whispering in my ear, "Daddy, I love you." You know, it just melts my heart, even though they might have just drawn the wall with crayons. Human love brings us great joy and happiness, but even more so with God's love. God loves you. Now, that sounds great, but we need to understand what the "you" really is like, what I am really like, to understand how wonderfully amazing God's love really is. The words in our passage today, well, they were originally written to a group of followers of Jesus in the city of Rome back in the 1st century AD. But can you pick out the words that are used to describe what the followers of Jesus were like? Can you see them? In sentence 6, they're called the ungodly. In sentence 8, sinners. And we immediately think, those are immoral lawbreakers. Well, seeing the Bible certainly contains those things, immoral actions, breaking the law, but it's not the complete picture. Well, let's quickly jump down to sentence 10 for another description. Do you see it there at the beginning? Enemies. Enemies of God. And that's what sin really is. Opposing God in rebellion. Placing ourselves outside of his authority. And this is certainly not only a picture of those who were back in the first century, but actually a true picture of all humanity, of you and of me. We all want to run our own life, don't we? To be our own king, to be our own boss. We don't even want our mom to tell us to put on a jacket when we leave home, let alone having a God telling us what is good or bad for our whole life. We could be rebelling against God consciously, or we could be rebelling against God by simply ignoring him. But dear friends, what's our greatest danger in 2021? What's our greatest danger? I can tell you this, that it's definitely not the coronavirus. And not the mutated strain as well. And it's not getting that $200 fine for not wearing a mask. The greatest danger for us in 2021 is actually this thing that the Bible calls sin. S-I-N. It's putting myself in the middle of my life rather than God. God who is to be the rightful king, who actually knows what is the best for our lives. Well, after all, he did create us and give us life. But the greatest danger is not so much our willful rebellion against God, acting as his enemy as we read, but more significantly, it's God's rightful response to us rebelling against him. If we skip back to chapter 1 in the book of Romans, this is what's already said before about the dire consequence of sin. In chapter 1, sentence 18, let me read for us. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. We are sinners. We are the object of God's wrath. We face certain condemnation. Now, this wrathful judgment of God against sinful human beings is right and appropriate because of how we have treated ourselves, treated others, treated the world that God's created, and most importantly, how we've treated God. And that's what you and I are like before God. Enemies of God. Deserving of his rightful anger. This is far from happiness. This is despair. It's hopelessness. But we must firstly understand this real picture of the us in sentence 8 of chapter 5. But then there is one very important little word, the very little word in sentence 8. Important word, while. While we were drenched in sin, while we were rebelling against God, sentence 6 also describes us as weak, powerless, unable to help ourselves out of this danger of God's coming wrath. While we are all that, God shows his love for us. Can you imagine that? It's not some kind of airy-fairy, warm, fuzzy, vague feeling of love that God has. But God actually shows his love for us. He actually has proof of his love in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Christ is the title given to Jesus as God's chosen king. And us, in rebelling against God, we were also enemies of God's Christ, God's King Jesus. If you are this king, what will you do about your enemies? I know what I'll do. Psst! All gone. No more. Yet, how do we see the Bible describe King Jesus? He died for his enemies as their substitute. He died in their place so that they might have the punishment of sin paid for and be rescued from God's wrath. But dear brothers and sisters, no matter how many times you've heard of this truth, does this demonstration of God's love for you still fill your heart with unspeakable joy, knowing that Christ died for you while you are a sinner? Sentence 7 suggests that even the greatest imaginable human love will only, under very, very special circumstances, willingly give up one's life for another. But even then, you know, we will only do it for the good people, those who are dear to us. But for your enemy? Forget it! No way! How much greater is God's love for us that Christ died for us while we were still willful rebels in his world? And so often, even some who are already followers of this King Jesus, they doubt, how can I know God loves me? And you know, there are a couple of wrong responses to this question. We could look at ourselves and think, well, not doing too bad. We are still lovable to a certain extent. And wrongly think that we are somehow worthy in God's eyes. But on the other hand, we could very well understand ourselves as sinners, completely unlovable by God. And there's no way that God could ever love me. But what this passage teaches us is to stop looking at ourselves, but instead look to the cross on which Jesus Christ died for you. It's there on that cross that God's love has been demonstrated beyond doubt. And we should be amazed and be overwhelmingly thankful for what Christ has done. Well, now, compare that to the world's love. Whether it's your family, whether it's your boyfriend, girlfriend, whether it's your friends. So we think about it, they are often so conditional and temporary, aren't they? But God's love is totally unconditional and never diminishes. Because Christ died for us. Because this is a historical fact that happened back in 33 AD. This fact does not change with our feelings, with how well I've performed over the last little while. This fact that Christ died for you does not change with the pandemic, with the sufferings or trial or whatever circumstances that you might be facing right now. God shows his love for us while we were still sinners, in that Christ died for us. So we can be certain of God's love for us. But what about the future? Will God continue to love me like that? Well, let's move on to our second point on the outline. Certain of our future now. Well, if you ever look into any investment stuff, you know, such as a managed fund, you always see this in the small print. Past performance is not an indicator of future performance. And you think, you know, that's just common sense, right? The investment you made your money from last year doesn't mean you will continue to do that this year. And you could lose all the money you put into it. And, you know, of course, no one can predict the market. No one can be 100% certain of what will happen in the future. But did you know that this passage does go on to say, well, actually, followers of Jesus can have this confidence, can have this certainty about the future. Let's read on in sentences 9 and 10. Since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. Well, this passage is arguing from a major to a minor. That is, if God has done the harder thing already, will he not be able to do the easier thing? You can imagine, for most of our international students, you know, your parents, they spend tens of thousands of dollars just to send you here to study UNSW, one of the most prestigious universities. If they spend all that much money to send you here to study, will they not spare the few hundred dollars for you to buy textbooks to study? But of course, whether students do buy textbooks, that's another question. But if God has already done the harder thing, will he not do the easier thing? So we see that word in sentence 9, justified. It's a legal term, a local kind of language. It means to be declared not guilty, to be declared innocent by a judge. And of course, we know by judge, king, God himself. And so the sentence argues, if we have already been declared not guilty through King Jesus' death, that's what the blood here signifies, him dying in our place, then how much more certain it is that we will be saved by God from his rightful judgment that's coming in the future. And then in sentence 10, another bigger word, reconciliation. It's emphasis on personal relationship that bring together to make peace between two parties that were once hostile to each other. So if God has done the hard work of reconciling his enemy to himself, well, there's no question, no doubt, but that he will do the comparatively easy job of saving us at the end, now that we are actually his friends. And so for God, the fine print actually reads, past performance is a guarantee of future performance. What God has done for us in the past, it proves that he will not neglect us. He will not ignore us, but that he will save us in the future. Now, we are uncertainty of what 2021 holds for us, for our study, for our work, for our family. But as followers of King Jesus, saved. Saved is what we can be certain about. It's the hope of that future that's guaranteed by what God has already done in the past through his son Jesus. This is always true regardless of your circumstances. No matter what trouble we face, our status of being declared not guilty right now and that salvation from God's wrath on the last day, they are all guaranteed because Christ already died for us. But let's move on to our third and final point, the key to happiness. Well, as you might have suspected all along, the key to happiness is not how much we can accumulate in this life. He who dies with the most toys wins. It's not how much achievement we can gain in this life, how much praises we can gain from others. But the key to happiness, the key to a certain future, the key to that everlasting joy that we see today, the key is actually a person. The person, Jesus Christ. He is our peace with God. He has achieved what no sinner can ever do. Reconciliation with God. And this is not a feeling that we might have or not have. Of course, what God has done should give us peace of mind as we consider where we stand before him. But it's not a feeling that's foundational to our relationship with God. It's the fact that Christ died for you. What we can be certain of 2021 is that it's going to be another year full of uncertainty. But if I ask you, what's the one thing, if you have, you will be happy for the rest of your life? What's the one thing that if you obtained, you can be sure you'll be happy, you'll be joyful for the rest of your life? I don't know what is it that you might be thinking about. Whether it's a thing, a relationship, or something intangible. But if you don't have certainty that it will last, how can you be sure that it will bring you that everlasting joy? You can only have happiness when you can be certain of your future. And that future, as God has revealed to us today, that future will only lie in your relationship with God through his son, Jesus. Is that through anything that we can do? Anything that we have done? Any merit of our own? But God has done it himself. And this relationship with God is what we can rejoice in. Dear brothers and sisters, do you understand what we already have in Jesus Christ? And will you echo with sentence 11 in our passage today? More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through his death, through whom we have now received reconciliation. That's what we already have in Jesus Christ. That's the ultimate joy that God has already freely given to all of us who have trusted in his Son. So, dear brothers and sisters, will you continue to count that your ultimate joy? Knowing that Christ died for you, knowing that he's already brought peace between you and God, knowing that you have already received forgiveness from God. And so, no matter what 2021 looks like for you, you can always be joyful, knowing that Christ died for you. And even as sentence 11 says, we also rejoice in God. That can also be translated boasting in God. You know, we think about boasting as such a negative thing, right? And usually what you boast in is untrue. And it's not a desirable character. But here, followers of Jesus can boast in God. It's a joyful confidence of God, of what God has done for us through Christ. It's true. And it's what we can confidently boast in, that God has so mercifully sent his Son to die for sinners. And so, dear brothers and sisters, are you feeling downhearted at times? Especially given how the past year has been. All this online relationship, nah. Are you downhearted at times? Well, let me let you in on a secret of happiness. Contemplate on what we already have in Christ. Our relationship with God that does not change. You know, whether the vaccine comes out or not, God's love for you does not change. Your relationship, your peace with God does not change. That's why we can have confidence in. That's the certain future that we can hope in. But dear friends, there might be some of you who are still investigating on the claims of the Bible. Today, how will you respond to God's offer? That he's willing to forgive sinners like you through the death of his Son for you. Will you accept and trust in his offer of forgiveness and salvation? Now, if this is something that you truly believe in your heart, I'd love to invite you to pray with me. It's a prayer to express acknowledge that we are sorry for being enemies with God, and that we are thankful that King Jesus died for us to bring us forgiveness, and also a plea to God to help us live with Jesus as our King. These are not some magical words, but if this is what you truly believe, I'd love to invite you to pray with me in your heart. I'll pray sentence by sentence, and you can follow along. Let's pray. Dear God, sorry I have rebelled against you. Sorry, I have rejected you as my king. Thank you, but while I am your enemy, King Jesus died for me so that I can be forgiven by you. Please help me from this day forward to joyfully live with Jesus Christ as my King. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, dear friends, be assured if that's what you truly believe, God is willing to forgive you through what his Son has done on the cross. And we'd love to keep helping you to find out what does it mean to trust in this King Jesus? What does it mean to trust in his death for you? And so if you've come with a Christian friend, we'd love you to tell me about this decision that you've made, this prayer that you prayed. Or we'd love you to, through the online QR code, to indicate that you'd love to be contacted so that we can help you to keep growing as a follower of Jesus.
Thanks for tuning in this week to the Campus Bible Study Podcast. Make sure that you're subscribed on your regular podcasting app. And why don't you check us out at Facebook, YouTube, or visit our website at campusbiblestudy.org.